And happy new year, and welcome to the Fanboy Garage. I'm Chris Lasanti, joined by my co-host for the first time in 2019, Aaron Varola.
Hey, what's going on, y'all? Happy new year. Happy 2019. We are back. Damn, man, I can't believe how fast time is flying, but here we are in 2019, yo.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
It's exciting. Did you have a good, I know you had a good new year.
Yeah.
I hope everybody else had a good new year. I was definitely a little banged up yesterday, but I'm still breathing. I'm still standing, as the great Elton John once said. Well, so fighting a cold. But yeah, so 2018 kind of came to a close in grand fashion. We got together more than one occasion, but we went to the Revengers watch party, something we hyped up a lot in previous episodes, to see Aquaman. But before we get into our comments about that, I guess maybe we should, you want to just do like a quick summary on 2018, things that we've seen, things that we liked, things that we didn't like, what we're excited about for 2019. You want to get into stuff like that?
Yeah, well, I mean, 2018 was a big year. Obviously, it was the year this podcast started, so that's the biggest thing for me.
Hell yeah.
Yep, and it's amazing that before we know it, we're going to hopefully be celebrating 1 year, but that's kind of scary to think. But, I mean, it was a big year for the movies, too. I mean, it seems like Infinity War was, like, ages ago.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. So, you know, if looking back on 2018, at the box office, it was like the biggest year, I think, ever, as far as like gross goes. Mm-hmm. You know, so that whole theory that like people just don't want to go to the movies anymore.
Yeah. Kind of Netflix is killing the movie going experience. Yeah,
that goes out the window, because it's really, if you give people movies they want to see, they're still going to go. And if you give them a reason to have to see something in the theater, they're still going to go. You know, it was a very big year for comic book movies. In the sense that, you know, Marvel Studios grossed $4 billion this year on three movies. And $2 billion of that came from movies based on Black Panther and Ant-Man. And now we're seeing, you know, Warner Brothers and DC are going to do over $1 billion with Aquaman. And Venom, which was a movie that nobody seemed to want, nobody seemed to care about, made $855 million worldwide. So I don't want to hear any more about superhero and comic book fatigue, because it's just not a thing.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, because it seems like it's the movies that are stepping outside of the norm, if that makes any sense, that are doing really well and sort of unexpected, right? Like,
yeah,
Aquaman is not what people had traditionally thought of as a DCU film, so it's doing good so far. And Venom just kind of came and crept out of nowhere and literally just like smashed everybody's pockets, and they were like throwing money at this thing. So
yeah, with terrible reviews. So it also destroys the whole theory that, like, you know, bad Rotten Tomatoes scores can somehow sway people away from theaters, because that didn't happen in Venom's case.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody was going to predict that.
That's a very interesting bit of insight, because it's like, then what's the point of Rotten Tomatoes, right? Like,
well, I mean, there's a point.
Obviously there's a point, but I'm saying in terms of the validity of like what that means, that, you know, score, it really doesn't mean much of anything.
I think that reviews never did, you know, really to that much. I mean, you know, I don't know that bad reviews, good reviews ever really swayed mainstream audiences away from movies. I think, you know, we've talked about this before, because BVS, that Rotten Tomatoes score became such a big deal because it was so shocking at the time. Like, people just could not believe that a movie with Superman and Batman was getting crushed that badly. And that followed with Suicide Squad, which did, you know, equally terrible reviews. I think that that just kind of shocked the system. So the narrative became, oh, the critics are out to get these movies, and oh, Rotten Tomatoes is, you know, buying all this stuff. And it just was never really a thing. It's just not that big a deal. Most people don't know what the Rotten Tomatoes score of a movie is when they go to see it, and nor do they care. And, you know, again, we talked about the Transformers movies. I mean, I put out a tweet the other day talking about how irrelevant the Rotten Tomatoes score is. If you just look at the Transformers movies, Bumblebee is the not only the highest rated of all of these Transformers movies, it's the Rotten Tomatoes score for Bumblebee right now is higher than the combined Rotten Tomatoes score of the last four Transformers movies. And it's making...
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's making by far the least amount of money. I mean, not even close, right? So yeah. What does that tell you? Now, yeah, you want to say that, oh, that's because the previous history of the movie, of the other movies is what, you know, dwindled the audience down. But that's my point. Clearly, nobody cared that this thing's at 93% of Rotten Tomatoes and it's actually a good Transformers movie. Let's go see it. They just see it as a Transformers movie and they haven't liked the other ones and they were tired of putting their money towards them. So, you know, I think two movies that really show exactly the quote-unquote power of Rotten Tomatoes this year, Venom and Bumblebee. One got terrible reviews and way overperformed at the box office, and the other got amazing reviews and is underperforming to a point at the box office. And I think another big factor is, you know, overseas box office. Venom did gigantic numbers in China where they don't give anything about the Rotten Tomatoes score. You know, these overseas box office numbers that are so important right now that can make or break a movie, they're not, people don't care about Rotten Tomatoes. You know, we care about it, or did anyway, because we like to talk about it. But yeah, so I think we saw that was an interesting shift. And I think that's a good thing, because I think people, you know, we need to stop overanalyzing reviews and whatnot and just, you know, go see the movie and make form your own opinion on it. And that's the way it, now
it's like, go see what you like to see. Like who cares? And the thing is, you know, you're going, you know, we're all going to the movies for a form of escapism, right? To just kind of like live in that world for an hour and a half, 2 hours. And if it's a Lord of the Rings movie, then it's 3.5 hours. But, you know, and reviewers are going to be taking a very different, you know, they're going to be going into the theater with a very different mindset, and they're looking at the art form itself and, you know, the lighting here and the acting there and the script here and all that stuff. And while I'm not saying that that stuff doesn't matter to the average viewer or the general audience, that's not necessarily what they're going for. Right?
No.
They're just going for a good time.
You would think, yeah.
Yeah. Unless the movie's really bad.
I hope that most people don't go to a movie expecting it to be really bad, because then you shouldn't go.
Definitely.
But
don't waste your money.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're, and again, that's the, you know, critics, they have to go see these movies. So they don't care. They can't be selective with what they go to see. And I don't know that anybody goes to a movie saying, man, this is going to be terrible. I can't wait to watch it. So you should go to a movie, and it's like what I talked about with Creed 2. I mean, I left that theater feeling better than I did when I went in, and that should be the goal, unless you go in to see like a sad movie, and that's a whole different experience, but there's a cathartic thing to that too, though, that ties in, so hopefully now we've gotten past the conversation of like critics and how much those things affect the box office and all that stuff, and we could just start talking about the movies themselves and how ultimately the success of a movie is going to come down to how well it's marketed, how much people just wanted to see it, and word of mouth, really, is going to be the big thing. And I think the best example of all of those things is Aquaman, in the sense that Aquaman generated a lot of buzz because it was released overseas early,
especially
in China. And they had those Amazon early screenings, those Amazon Prime screenings. So there was a buzz about this movie, and the word of mouth started spreading about Aquaman earlier than normal, you know, and by more than just like the critics or the media that get to see it like at the advanced screenings. Like fans were seeing this thing earlier than normal and generating a lot of buzz for it ahead of time.
Yeah, that was, you know, that's an interesting. It's interesting, the whole approach and the way that film was marketed, right? Like, I actually really wonder about the ultimate motivation and motive behind that. So you had media, the critics and the reviewers go to see the film, like maybe a week before they did the Amazon thing, right? And everybody released their kind of like social media reactions to it. And it was weird because there was like a wave of kind of like yeah, it's fun. It's kind of like meh. And then the Amazon Prime thing kind of rolls out, and a whole bunch of fans see this film, and
Yep.
like the word of mouth is like through the roof.
Yes.
Everyone's talking about how awesome it is, and it was almost like I don't want to say competition, but like the fan voice was combating the critic voice in a way. And ultimately people who are kind of following all this stuff are like, well, who, this guy says it's like okay, but this person, like my friend who went on the Amazon Prime thing, saw it and they loved it. So I kind of wonder if there was some strategic planning in all of that, to
It could
just to
be.
kind of help to help boost it, help boost it even further. And obviously the release in China, as you mentioned before, was a big thing, a big
Yeah.
part of that. It's something I know Marvel does frequently as well. They do like that week release, like a week or a week, maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks before they do some of their big tentpole movies. They'll do in China first. So yeah, I you know, it's it it I don't know. It's kind of crazy. Aquaman is crazy.
Yes, it is. So let's, because I'm going to talk about Warner Brothers and why I think they had an incredibly important year this year in a little bit. But a lot of that ties into Aquaman. Some of it is bigger than Aquaman. But let's just talk about Aquaman for a second. So I know there were a lot of people who were kind of waiting to hear our thoughts on this movie, expecting us to do something like after we saw it. And that just didn't happen. And we hadn't been able to do a show since. And honestly,
The
if you've been
holidays and all that.
yeah, and if you've been following us on Twitter, I think most of the people that have followed us on Twitter that listen to this show can probably figure out that we did not like this movie. So there have been times when Aaron and I have disagreed completely on movies. We've done entire episodes of this show talking about our disagreements on certain movies, like Solo, for instance. This is a movie we 100% agree on, and we both did not like this movie at all. But it's the weirdest thing because, we're sitting there in the theater and both were frustrated and kind of baffled, and we had our hands in our faces at times. And we leave the theater and we're looking at the reaction online, and it's one of the first times I think in a long time where I actually feel like we saw a completely different movie than everybody else. Because I mean, I'm not going to be one of these people when it comes to this movie that's like, well, it's flawed, but I had fun, because I didn't actually have fun with it. And that was one of the things I kind of expected to do, is have fun with it. Now, I don't want to get too much into the thoughts on it and whatever, because at this point, I almost feel like it's not very relevant.
I feel like people listening might think that we're being nitpicky about certain things. So we're certainly not going to go into incredible detail. I will say this though. So I kind of feel like our listeners would be like, oh, of course Aaron didn't like it, right? I was actually shocked by your response and your reaction to the film, because I thought Chris is a little better at seeing the glasses half full kind of thing. And you had such an adverse reaction to Aquaman that I was like, wow, maybe I don't like this film as much as I thought I did, but I think Chris likes it less than I do. So I'm saying that, I kind of feel like you've taken a little bit of the heat off my shoulders. But I do feel like you and I are certainly swimming in a fishbowl, and the rest of the world is kind of watching us laughing like, you guys don't get it, huh?
Yeah, it's really weird, because
It's awkward.
I've seen these are the reactions that I've seen from a lot of people. Obviously, there are the ones who I think are just people who are way over the top on this thing. They're like, this is the best superhero movie ever. This is better than Wonder Woman. It's better than, I saw someone said that they thought it was better than Batman Begin. Like, people are really like shooting this thing high, and that could be partly because it's fresh in their minds. But then you're seeing people who are like, oh, you know what? Yeah, it's flawed, but I had fun with it. It's really not that bad. And then there's us. So you know, I don't really know what to think about it anymore. Like, I have to see it again. I don't know if it's going to change my opinion or not, but I do feel like I at least need to see it again, because it's just rare that, like, I could like almost nothing about a movie, and yet other people are like, because, like, even BVS, right? Like, I mean, BVS was polarizing, but, like, I think most people were kind of negative on it, and then there was, like, a very loud minority of people that loved it and were defending it, and then it became almost like a movement at some point.
Right.
But people, like, there were things I did actually like about BVS, right? So, like, I liked Wonder Woman in it. I liked Batman in it. Like, so there were things, like, I could sit there and be like, all right, well, I didn't like this, but I did enjoy at least this.
Yeah, like, you can kind of, like, grit your teeth and get through it if you wanted to watch it again.
Maybe, but...
Well, I mean, I own BVS.
Well, so do I, but I'm a completist,
you know, the Ultimate
Edition.
Yeah. And I do occasionally turn it on. I do occasionally feel like, oh, you know what, I'm going to, like, scroll through some of this stuff, and I'm going to watch Batman be Batman, you know? Or some other, you know, I want to watch a little bit of Wonder Woman. I don't know if I'll be there with Aquaman. Now, I went through a second viewing of, like, Justice League, and I agree. I think a second viewing kind of, like, helps things along a little bit, because you kind of expect, you know, you kind of know when things are going to happen, and you can see, you can kind of take a step back from everything instead of being in the moment. And I've had that experience with Justice League. You know, I was over critical. I was, like, definitely super critical about Justice League. But
yeah,
there are moments that shine and that I genuinely have a good time with.
Yes. And I was much kinder to Justice League after we finished seeing it. Than you were, because I was like, well, yeah, it's not obviously not a good movie, but it, considering everything that went on, you know, it's a little more cohesive than it should have been, and I kind of had some fun with it at times.
Yeah.
But
like, it's charming. There were some charming moments in that film.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna say that Aquaman doesn't have its charming moments. Like, I definitely feel like Jason Momoa was born to be Aquaman. Like, he definitely does the character justice.
Yeah, he's got a cool factor about him that I think is needed.
Yeah, like, I liked Aquaman before he was in his own movie.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I really don't want to get into Aquaman like this, but there's just, it just doesn't,
it didn't it work didn't, for us.
It didn't, yeah, it just yeah. didn't work for us. And, you know, and I don't know if it was because of the word of mouth that started to set my bar a lot higher than it probably needed to be.
It's possible. I mean, there were times when I was sitting there watching it where I was like, wow, really? Like, people really, really are liking this. But even with that, like, when I sit down and logically look at, like, the things that I enjoy in a movie, like, there aren't a lot of boxes that check off for Aquaman. But the key is with Aquaman, and like I said, our opinions are almost like, they're irrelevant at this point, because the story of Aquaman is the success, right? So put aside our personal opinions on the movie for now. Like, this thing is undeniable at this point. It's a monster. It's clearly resonating with audiences in a way that, I mean, you know, Wonder Woman was a huge success, but this thing is not going to hit the heights of Wonder Woman domestic, but it already blew past Wonder Woman and every other DC EU movie overseas. It's doing gigantic business in China. It's going to do over $1 billion, which is amazing that Aquaman is going to be the first movie of these DC EU movies to do over $1 billion. Go figure. But you know, it just goes to show you how, if you folk people, well, and I also think that what helps this movie is the fact that it is the first movie since Justice League. And I think the fact that it's been a year since anything came out from the DCEU, people's appetites were ready for it. And people were ready to go to see this movie and enjoy it and have fun with it without the stigma. So, like, with Wonder Woman is great, right? It's a great movie. It's a great experience. It was very positive. Everybody was pumped up when they left that theater, but Justice League was still coming out. So there was a little bit of that, like, oh, yeah, well, Wonder Woman's great, but guess what? We're still going to get this Justice League movie, and it's going to be a mess and all this stuff. But now, with Aquaman, it's been a year. People have gotten a lot of stuff out of their systems. They were ready for this movie, and there's now it's like the skies have opened up, right? Because this thing is enormous success. And now you look towards 2019, and it's like people are pumped up about Shazam. They're pumped up about, you know, Wonder Woman 84. They're pumped up about Joker. They're pumped up about Birds of Prey. So it's like a new day is, like, you know, dawning now in this DCU, and maybe they've finally course corrected, and now we have a lot of positive things to look at without anything getting in our way. And I think that's adding to a lot of that. And look, I mean, the movie is a very big deal. Warner Brothers has had a huge year. So we talked about Marvel Studios already. We get that. But if you look at Warner Brothers' year, not only is Aquaman this huge hit that has kind of breathed new life right into this DCEU, but like I said, it's also, you're hearing a lot of positive buzz and hype about these future projects. And people have spent a lot of time talking about those, which is also good because it's going to bode well, I think, for their box office performance. But if you look at the year like Warner Brothers had as a studio, like A Star is Born, Crazy Rich Asians, The Meg, a movie that overperformed. I mean, Jason Statham versus a giant shark, the movie did $145 million domestic, right? Ocean's 8, The Nun, even Rampage, you know, one of the few video game movies that wasn't a complete and utter bomb at the box office.
And you know? Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah, and Ready Player One. So, I mean, they had, Warner Brothers had a really nice year this year. Yeah. And I think that they're loading up for, you know, what could be a real big year for them this year in 2019. And I think they're one of the great successes of this year, you know, along with Marvel. And, you know, now with Marvel, if you look at going forward with 2019, so obviously Avengers Endgame is going to make a gazillion dollars, right?
Right.
But, and Spider-Man Far From Home should do really well. And Captain Marvel, the jury's still out. But I think that after this year, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with Marvel Studios. You know, do they fully embrace like the new character, like X-Men and Fantastic Four that they're going to have access to? Do they go with some interesting, I mean, they're going to make another Black Panther movie, obviously, and things like that. But it'll be interesting to see if like the door is open now and DC finally has an opportunity to, I mean, not that the two studios have to compete, that's all, I think, fan-driven stuff. But because there's plenty of room, clearly, for all of these characters and all of these movies, you know. But it'll be interesting to see now if DC can start to roll out some of their big guns as Marvel starts to reset with some of their guns.
Yeah, they have to go back to world building.
Yeah. And so that'll be interesting to see world reconstruction, right?
Really, because who knows what they're going to have up their sleeve. I mean, I think, well, D23 is the end of, it's like in the summer of this year. So I expect there to be plenty of news coming from that that event. And then there's also Celebration and all that Star Wars stuff, but that's a separate topic.
Yes.
I think you're absolutely right. It's going to be a very interesting year because at this point, as Marvel closes the chapter of, you know, of a 10-year book that it's been writing, you know, DC and Warner Brothers are just starting, and the momentum is going to be ridiculously strong coming off of Aquaman, without a doubt.
Yeah.
So,
and they will eventually get another Batman movie out there, you know, and hopefully they'll revisit Superman again. And, you know, that's when, you know, and by that point it will be in an environment that people are going to be, I think, very positive about.
Yeah. You know, and then Crypto.
And then your Crypto movie is going to be gigantic. Yeah. Did I see a thing that Crypto was going to be a character in Titans season 2? Was that like,
are you serious?
There was like a post. I think there was like a post credits like teaser at the end of the finale with Superboy and Crypto are going to be in.
I'm going to have to watch that.
Yeah, I'm actually going to. And I know we were kind of really hard on Titans those first few episodes that we decided to talk about, but I'm going to revisit that show only because the place that I was in when I started to watch that show, I was in a very weird place. I was physically and emotionally and mentally in a weird place. And now I'm kind of settled in. So I think now it would be a time for me to maybe sit down and actually revisit that show again.
Yeah. I'm always in that dark place, man. So for me, I was like, no, I've tried a couple of times to start it again. Yeah, I always end up falling asleep. It just doesn't do it for me.
Yeah. And it may not do it for me again either, but I think that, I just want to revisit a little bit just because of the mindset that I was in at that point, and physically the place that I was in was not really ideal for diving into a show, but you know, we'll see. But yeah, you will get your crypto movie, I think, at some point.
Oh, hell yeah. Let's do it. So, you know, it's funny. I was kind of going through the list of like 2018 movies, and you know, it's no wonder that, you know, Aquaman is really being praised in the way that it is, because, you know, I know that we're saying there is no such thing as comic book movie fatigue, but like in looking at some of the movies that rolled out in 2018, I mean, we had Black Panther, that's a Marvel movie, Avengers Infinity War, that's a Marvel movie, Deadpool 2 is technically a Marvel,
right,
in association with Marvel,
yep,
right,
Venom,
you had Ant-Man and the Wasp, yep. Venom. So, you know, there's, and then you had the next Deadpool again. So it's like, yeah, it's about time we kind of change things up a bit, because there are no, you know, there isn't really anything else that's a different, you know, cause a lot of people, when you grow up with comic books, you know, you are in some cases, you know, while some people can share love between those two, you know, publishing companies, there were, you know, at least when I was growing up, you either really liked Marvel characters or you really liked DC characters. So, you know, it's about time that that they had, you know, DC fans, both from the book and in these movies, had something, you know, successful that everyone was kind of praising and holding up high. So.
And I mean, and as one of those kids who did not really read Marvel as a kid, except for Spider-Man, I mean, I was always a DC guy growing up. Yeah, I mean, I want to see these. But, you know, and again, though, I think sometimes we get too caught up in, like, DC properties have been successful in film.
Oh, okay? Totally.
Before there was a DCEU, right? But right. Now I think so. Sometimes I think we get caught up too much in comparing, like, it's become DCEU versus MCU, where right. We don't even talk about, like, the Marvel movies that existed before the MCU.
We right,
don't
talk right, about right. The stuff that DC, we had to deal with, like, yeah. The Punisher.
Well, or even the good stuff, like the Spider-Man movies and the X-Men, the X-Men movies. And we don't talk about the DC movies that came out before right. The DCEU that were successful, like the Nolan trilogy and Batman 89 and Batman, you know, and yeah, I mean, yeah, you had your Batman and Robins and Batman Forevers and your Superman 4s and things like that, and Superman 3, but there have been successful, you know, DC properties before there was a DCEU. There have been successful and very unsuccessful Marvel properties before there was an MCU.
Right.
And
TV shows.
And
I
TV
mean, DC
shows.
Has always ruled the
sure.
roost
yeah.
in TV.
So I
from,
think
you
that,
know, Lois and Clark to, you know, the animated series for both Batman and for Superman, Justice League, all of those DC animated movies that roll out, like the Dark Knight Returns and all of that. I mean, so there's plenty of success.
Sure.
You know, in and under the DC umbrella.
It's just that there's a generation now that wanted to have their own, like, the DC version of the MCU. And I'm going to be honest with you, I was not one of those people. Like, I would have been okay if we had just gotten really good movies based on DC properties rather than try to force the shared universe thing, which I just didn't think was ever necessary. And that's why I'm glad, despite my personal enjoyment or lack thereof of Aquaman, I'm happy that, like, Wonder Woman exists. I'm happy that Aquaman exists. Because at the very least, these are easy-to-watch movies that anybody can sit down and watch from beginning to end and not be lost and not have to worry about what came before it or what comes after it. And I think there's a lesson there why those movies have been, the you know, as successful as they were. And it's because that's what this should have been from the very beginning. And I mean, we've talked endlessly about how I've always felt that the cardinal sin was, you know, not making the proper sequel to Man of Steel instead of making it BVS and cluttering everything up. That was the original sin of all of this. But, you know, you can have Man of Steel, even, you know, regardless of what's going to happen with Henry Cavill or whatever. You have Wonder Woman, right. You have Aquaman. Those three movies can stand on their own. And, you know, I think that's a good thing. And now you'll have Shazam, and you'll have this Joker thing, and you're going to have Birds of Prey. And so you're going to have Birds of Prey, and hopefully you're not going to have watched Suicide Squad right. to appreciate the Birds of Prey Harley Quinn movie. So that's what really where they need to be, and I'm a very okay with that. And if they do ever build to a Justice League movie down the road, great. If not, doesn't matter, because I've always preferred the DC characters on their own as opposed to in Justice League stories anyway, probably because I was always a big Batman fan, and Batman never worked as well in Justice League as he did on his own for a number right. of different reasons. So I'm okay with them never making a Justice League movie again. Just keep cranking out these really good movies, these solo movies based on these characters, and just build your universe that way. So hopefully that's what's getting people excited too, and what gets mainstream audiences excited.
Preach. Yes. So in looking back at 2018, I mean, would you say that you've seen quite a few films?
No, actually, when I was looking at the list myself, I realized that I have not. This is probably a year that I have seen less movies than any that I can remember. And there's reasons for that, personal reasons. You know, life and everything, but I actually saw less movies this year. Let's just put it this way. The majority of the movies that I saw this year came via our viewing parties.
Gotcha.
Okay. There were very few times this year that I actually went out. We did what? Ready Player One. We did Infinity War. We did Aquaman. We did Halloween. Did we do anything else? No, right?
No.
And then in between, I saw Ant-Man and the Wasp. I saw Creed 2. I saw Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which we'll talk about in a bit. And I'm not... Oh, Venom. Oh, I'm lying. Yeah, I saw about as many movies on my own as I did as via the watch parties. But either way, the point is, you know, I did not go to like one or two movies a month like I have in the past, and I didn't really watch a lot of stuff at home because I was in between things. But so I did not see a lot of movies this year, but I did enjoy. Oh, and I saw Solo. So yeah, but I did enjoy the majority of the movies that I saw. And then there were some major disappointments for me. So.
Yeah, so I've been traveling a lot this year. So interestingly enough, a lot of my movie viewing has been on a plane, because it's where I'm like, oh, yeah, maybe I'll just see that film. I watched a lot of good movies and I've watched a lot of bad movies. I've seen probably upwards of 20 films this year. That's kind of split.
Like, you're talking about like first, like not.
No, I'm just saying in general. Oh, like, just in general. Movies that came out in 2018 that I've seen.
That's what I mean, yeah.
And you know, either in the theater, on the plane, or in my home. So, I think I've definitely watched mostly every comic book movie that was released. And then I've seen some, you know, as I said, not so good films like 50 Shades Freed.
Okay.
Because my wife made me.
Is that what you're going with?
That's all I got for you.
Think anybody's going to believe that? Or?
I hope so. Don't mind the braid.
Don't at me.
And then I had don't worry about that. Don't even ask that question. Then I watched movies like Blockers, right? That was in 2018. But some of these I didn't see in the theater, but I thought they were decent. I saw like Jurassic World and all that craziness. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and I could be wrong, I shouldn't put words in your mouth, but I had mentioned that my favorite movie that I saw this year was Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. And you had asked me, really, you were like, really, better than Infinity War? And I was like, yeah, I think it might be. I might have enjoyed it more. And then you wound up going, I think, the next day to go see it.
Yeah, I literally was like, because I had wanted to see it. I had every intention of seeing it like right when it was released, but then just, you know, life gets in the way, and I prefer to spend, it sounds bad. Well, this sounds really good, but I prefer to spend my time with my little girl. So, and she's not old enough yet to go to the movies. So, yeah, no, I literally just made a call. I was like, I looked at my wife and I said, what are we doing today? And she's like, no, we're not really doing anything. I was like, well, I'm going to go see Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse at 2 o'clock. She was like, cool, go ahead. I was like, yeah, all right. And then, you know, as I've said before on previous episodes, I saw the first 35 minutes of this film at San Diego Comic, San Diego Comic Con, New York Comic Con. I wish in San Diego. And I was like blown away. I said it right off the bat. I'd never seen anything like it before. I remember tweeting, or not tweeting, texting Mario and saying, dude, like, I think this movie should be up for like Oscars because there's nothing like it. The acting is amazing. It's got great jokes, well timed, all of that good stuff. And that was only in the first, and legit, like, I think there were little bits and pieces of the first 35 that weren't finished. So when I got to see it again, obviously in full form, it was like brilliant and even more perfect than I thought. But that's a game changer of a movie for me. Like, in terms of animation, and I'll say it, nobody has ever seen anything like that movie
No.
before. Nothing. There's never been anything like it.
Yeah.
So on that merit alone, it's just a masterpiece.
And when you had told me that, you know, when you saw the first 35 minutes, I was like, what is really? You've never seen anything like? Because, I mean, you saw the commercials and stuff, and it
Yeah.
didn't look, it looked like every
Doesn't do
other,
it any
like,
justice.
no, it looked like every other, like, CGI animated, you know, movie ever. And I was like, wow, what's so revel? And, but, you know, going into this movie, it's one of the few times where you go into a movie knowing how amazing the reviews are and knowing what the word of mouth is, and you're still blown away by it. Like, my bar was fairly high, and it was, I think it exceeded it. This damn movie, I mean, not only does it, like you said, look like nothing else. I mean, it goes from, like, traditional computer animation to there's hand-drawn animation, there's times it looks just like a comic book, like an old comic book. It's very meta and self-aware at parts, but it still does have a real story with real emotions and real stakes. And it's like 2 hours long, so it's not like a little kiddie animated movie, which unfortunately I think a lot of people think it is.
Right.
This is a serious movie, and it's one of the best origin stories I think I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, and there are moments in this movie where, like, I had those, like, jump out of my seat moments, you know. Yeah, it's just such, the music is great. You know, the Miles Morales character is a great character, and he always has been, and he's one of the few times where a major character, and Marvel has done this a lot, where they replace the character with somebody else, and usually it doesn't work. But Miles Morales was so popular in the comics that they kept him. And he really is a great character. And to me, I mean, look, the animation is amazing and revolutionary and all that, but I still wish that there would be a live action Miles Morales movie. I think
Yeah.
it would do the appeal of that, the crossover appeal of that, and what that character means, I think is, you know, and to a younger audience, I just think it would be gigantic, but I get why we're not going to get it. But hey, if they keep cranking out movies like this, great. I'm all for that too. I
Yeah.
just wish, you know, hopefully more people get a chance to see it and appreciate it for what it is.
Oh, totally. Oh my God, like, you know, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, you know what the thing is too, like, the voice acting in this film are, it's just amazing. This is really, really good stuff. And you know, you said it's, you know, one of the best origin stories. It definitely is, and it does certainly follow a format to a degree where you know, you don't get the major reveal of the fully formed hero until like the last, like till the third act. And that's always a great formula. It works really well in a lot of other films, so like why not do it for Spider-Man, right? And for this Spider-Man in particular. So, you know, I was blown away. And action sequences are amazing. They're really great to see. And
there's great villains with great motivation. Like, they have true motivation.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, no, it really does. And for those folks that are like fans of Daredevil, I mean, gosh, this Kingpin too in this film is great. And he's voiced by Liev Schreiber.
Yes.
So, and it's like it's an awesome New York accent too. So it's a really, really good film. I would certainly recommend it to anybody and everybody to go see. And if you're not really into Spider-Man, fine. You don't have to really like it. But, like, you should do your eyes the justice of seeing, like, what Sony put on the screen. Because, and I can't say that enough, because it literally, you've never seen it before. No.
And if you're a comic book fan, especially a long-time comic book fan, I mean, there are so many things to love about this. This thing checks off so many boxes. Like, it checks off as a movie, right? As a legit movie, right? With real emotion, real power. Real stakes, like I said, real, you know, the writing is good, the music is good. But even as, like, just a fan of comic books, if you're a fan of animation, it checks off that box, because there's so many things for you to sink your teeth into as a fan of animation. And if you're a fan of comic books, especially, like, old comic books, it checks off that box, too. Like, it appeals to so many different elements of, you know, the audience that would go to see that movie.
No, totally.
Yeah.
I mean, like, in the, you know, it's funny when you talk about the elements of, like, of a comic book. So in some cases, you know, Batman 66 really brought that to life in a way, because you get the pows and the whams and all of that stuff, right? And the fighting.
Right.
And we get a little bit of that. Actually, we get a lot of that, but it goes so unnoticed. In a way, because it feels so natural to the story and the way that the visuals are being presented. So, like, there will be scenes where, like, Miles is, like, web swinging, and you get the thwip, and it's coming out of his wrist.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But it just feels so natural to everything that it just, you know, you like I said, you won't really notice it unless you kind of focus on it. It's really cool. So definitely.
Yeah, and like you said,
check it out.
There's so take much a leap of faith going on. Yeah, go see this thing. I've been recommending it to everybody, telling them all to go see it, because you just should. You're doing yourself a disservice if you don't. Yeah. If you're a fan of any of these things, and you guys, know, there are moments where
I was gonna say real quick. I'm sorry. I sound like I've got socks up my nose. I'm literally like, I'm so congested right now.
He literally actually has socks up his nose.
Tube socks.
Yeah, there are moments on this screen where at one time, just from like an animation standpoint, where you have like computer-generated animation, Looney Tunes-style hand-drawn animation, anime, you know, and like all these things on the screen at one time, and it just works.
Oh my God, it so works.
It's like, what is this? It's just like it's an explosion of all kinds of amazing. So yeah, definitely go see that. Now, was that your favorite movie of the year, or were you still going with Black Panther or Infinity War?
You know what ended up happening? So as I was kind of like going through my little list, I knew I had to see Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, because I had a feeling that it was going to be like something I was going to really enjoy. But then, as like I said, I was going through the list and I looked at all the other movies I've seen, and like Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse and Creed 2 were the two that were fighting with one another. So yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse like no other, for a whole bunch of reasons that I just listed, but the one that kind of stuck with me the most was Creed 2.
As your favorite movie of the year?
Yeah, kind of, sort of, because there was like a lot of and it's the emotional stuff that happens in the film that just, like, I actually still think a lot about it. So yeah, I think that's probably my, only because of the emotional resonance it has with me.
Yeah, well,
so I think that's probably my favorite film of the year.
Everybody that heard the Our Creed 2 episode where we did the review knows how that movie emotionally resonated with me. I had that down as my biggest surprise of the year, like my most pleasant surprise. I didn't expect to love that movie as much as I did. And I just loved the crap out of that movie. I don't know. See, for me, I mean, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is my favorite movie of the year. When we look at Infinity War, like Infinity War had an effect on me like no other comic book movie has, in the sense that I just kind of stayed silent at the end of that for a while. And yeah, that's like that was a different feeling for me. Black Panther is just a great movie. And again, another one of those movies where it checks off a lot of the boxes. So, I mean, that would be my four. And I'm going to put Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse at the top, and it's the most recent one that I saw. So maybe that's not completely fair, but I mean, those four movies for me, those are very strong top four. Cause I really loved all four of those. And for, in some cases, many of the same reasons, and in some cases, somewhat different reasons. But what about the opposite end of the spectrum? I don't want to get into least favorites, because that's subjective and picky and whatnot. But how about like things that really disappointed you, which could include movies that were your least favorite, but overall, like things that were disappointing?
So Aquaman is the top of my list there for most disappointing. Halloween. Is on that list for sure.
Halloween is my biggest disappointment of the year. I'm not even going to put Aquaman in there, because Halloween was the true definition of a disappointment for me. The original is one of my favorite movies of all time. Everything I read about this movie, everything I saw about it, had me really hyped.
Well, it had all the good juju going for it, and then ultimately
and
just
it turned
didn't
out,
deliver.
Yeah, to not at all be what it was supposed to be, which is really why it was a complete disappointment.
Yeah.
It didn't feel...
Well, I mean, that was the thing, and then like word of mouth was like okay, right?
Yeah.
When we were getting into it, and then I think, we both you and I like kind of cut ourselves off, because we were like, all right, we're definitely going to see it, so it doesn't matter what the hell anyone's going to say.
Right.
And then you walk out of it and you're like, they just made so many stupid typical horror movie mistakes.
And it just didn't, it was supposed to look and feel like the original. It doesn't. Yeah. It's not.
It deserves better.
Yeah. So that was my biggest disappointment. That's why I kind of tried to draw the line between like least favorite movies and biggest disappointments, because sometimes they're the same and sometimes they're not.
I see what you're saying. So like Halloween is definitely the one where I was like, you couldn't tell me that that was going to be a bad movie and I would have believed you. You know what I mean? Like, right. I was going to see it and I was going to love it. And then I walked out of it and I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think the only other movie that kind of comes close to being a disappointment to me, and I know a lot of people love this film, was Game Night. I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was like all that, but I don't think it was. I mean, so yeah, I was kind of disappointed because people hyped it up for me, and I was like, oh, that's going to be funny, and then I saw it, and I was like, meh. Blockers, on the other hand.
Blockers is...
Man, that's a funny movie.
Blockers would have been, it was, now I can't really even call it a pleasant surprise, because I was told by like two different people to watch it.
Oh, I had no idea what the hell I was walking into when I saw it.
I had told by you and somebody else to absolutely, who don't know each other at all, absolutely watch this movie, and that there are certain, so I was kind of briefed and prepared for certain things. It was a pleasant surprise in the sense that sometimes, people tell you to watch something and you're like, really? You wanted me to watch this? But I did laugh and I did enjoy that movie. So even though I was kind of briefed on it, I still put it in the pleasant surprise category.
It was kind of funny, because when that movie was just when it was about to come out, right? I had seen, there was like a trailer that rolled out. And I was working with my client at the time, and they were on the phone. My client's on the phone with John Cena's agent, and they were talking about the movie. And I was like, oh God, I was like, John Cena's gonna be in this movie. I'm like, he was great in Trainwreck, but I'm like, I don't know if I could see a whole movie with John Cena in it. And I wrote it off. Like, I'm not even gonna lie. I was like, yeah, I'm definitely not gonna go to the movie theaters and see this movie. And I didn't. And then somebody was like, oh, dude, you gotta see it. It's kind of funny. And I was like, hey, all right. So my wife and I rented it. I literally probably, I came so close to having an asthma attack from laughing. I don't even have asthma. I was like, you have to keep liquids away from me because I felt like at any moment it could be like a surprise attack.
Yeah.
And like water or whatever, wine would have been shooting out of my nostrils. That movie's so damn funny. And it's like ridiculous. For anyone who hasn't seen it, definitely go see Blockers. Yeah. I'm totally hyping it up and they're going to watch it.
You really are. They're going to be like, don't ever recommend anything
again. Yeah.
But you know, I actually, we kind of jumped off of the, I just want to circle back to Sony for a second because, you know, we talked about the year that Warner Brothers had, yeah, and we talked about the year that Marvel had, but Sony had a really interesting year as far as their Spider-Verse goes, because this was a really important year for them. Because we started out this year talking about, well, is this going to be the end of Sony, you know, and the Spider-Man business? Like, are they getting out of the Spider-Man business this year? You know, Marvel has Spider-Man now. MCU has Spider-Man, even though Sony's reaping the profits from that. But it's still, you know, Marvel's producing them, and it's in the MCU. And they're doing this Venom movie that nobody asked for, that nobody's going to want to see. It's going to be bad. Nobody's going to, you know, and they're doing this animated Spider-Man thing. And it's like, what the heck? But Venom becomes this big success. And Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse has become this critic's darling. And it's not, it's making, oh, you know, good money for an animated film. It's not setting the box office on fire, but it's going to be profitable. They're very much still in the Spider-Man business. This was not quite the year for Sony and their Spider-Man universe that I think many people thought it was going to be. And now that we've shifted the narrative from talking about, well, when do they sell off the rights to the whole thing to Marvel, to like, well, now what are they going to do? And what other movies are they going to make? There's going to be a Venom sequel. There's clearly going to be a Spider-Verse sequel. You know, are they going to go forward with some of these other movies that they had planned? And you know, they had a very important and very interesting year when it comes to these Spider-Man property, and it wasn't. It was a big surprise, I think.
I mean, I'm shocked as hell over the success. Now, in the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse aside, like the success of Venom, like blew my mind. Totally blew my mind. And it wasn't like, and it wasn't because of Tom Hardy. It wasn't, has nothing to do with that. It's because I was like a firm believer, like you can't have Venom without Spider-Man. Like those two things just don't work without each other, right? Like, well, I stand corrected because Spider-Man can always be Spider-Man, but like Venom's origin is so intertwined. And we talked a lot about this. But his origin is so closely intertwined and dependent on that of Spider-Man, then I was like, there's no way they're going to be able to pull it off. And damn, was I wrong, because they totally did.
Yeah, I mean, creatively, they didn't necessarily pull it off.
You know, it's there, you know what I'm saying? I have no words for this film anymore. Like, just I've got no energy for it. But damn Sony, man. Like, they pulled it off, and good for them, you know? They are keeping their horse in the race, and... And again, you know, we don't, you know, we speculate, but we really don't know any of the details between those two studios, between Marvel and Sony. We have no idea what's at play. So, you know,
yeah, it's
we got a taste of characters from Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse and Spider-Man Homecoming. You know what I mean?
Yes.
They diverted some of the characters so much in Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse that you're like, yeah, we could totally have a totally, you know, completely different Peter Parker, completely different Doc Ock, a completely different Scorpion, all these other characters. And then you've got this completely other different universe of Venom. And like, you know what I'm saying? So it's kind of,
yeah.
And they might all work with each other they don't necessarily live in the same universe. So right. It's like, good for you.
Yeah.
It's actually really exciting because there's a lot more that they can do. And it literally is a spider web of, you know, stories that could be told that yes. don't necessarily need to interact with one another.
Yep.
They're connected in a, you know, far away, yeah. but
and it's all very comic. It's fascinating. It's all very comic booky. And it's just amazing though, that Venom is just really one of the stories of the year, because it's a movie that nobody really seemed to want. It got terrible reviews and didn't overperform. Like, this thing should have been Fantastic Four. And instead, it becomes this surprising success. So it's just a fascinating story, fascinating movie in a lot of ways.
Dude, I just thought of something. Like, so the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse main villain was Kingpin, Wilson Fisk.
Right.
And, like, Disney, technically, right, owns the rights to that character now, because he's in the Daredevil world.
Well, not necessarily. I don't know.
Well, it's like Marvel TV.
Are some of those details, though, that we don't know. Because now Kingpin is very much a big part of both the Daredevil and Spider-Man universes. So we don't know, like, who actually, if anybody owns the sole rights to that character. We're assuming, because Kingpin was in the Daredevil Netflix show, that Marvel owned the rights, but maybe they don't. And, you know, don't forget that, you know, in association with Marvel does kind of mean something, you know.
Right, right. It's just not like a logo that they slap on.
And, you know, who knows when they cut the deal to get Spider-Man into the MCU, what, like you said earlier, what exactly was involved in that? And how much, you know, wiggle room do... I mean, look, clearly Sony has the rights to that universe. So was Kingpin part of that at the time? Maybe. Was that a concession that Marvel gave over as part of... Who knows? We don't know, but we'll probably never find out.
I want to know.
I know you do.
I really want to know now.
Yes, I know.
Because it's fascinating. Like,
they'll one day, maybe they'll be just or something.
It literally feels like they're trading cards with one another. Like, oh yeah, oh, you want him in your movie? You give me that, and I'll give you this.
Right.
It's cool.
So
it's cool.
Let's turn now to one of your favorite subjects. So, the one studio or the one thing that was a negative this year, and that you normally would not have in your negative column, is Star Wars and Lucasfilm. So Solo, a Star Wars story, bombed, like legit bombed at the box office in ways that we never thought a Star Wars movie could. And which is not the end of the world, because clearly, you know, episode 9 comes out this year and it should do, you know, enormous box office. But what happened with the lack of success of Solo is the fact that now they've basically scrapped all the plans for these Star Wars stories. And it has altered the way that Lucasfilm is going about things. So they did take that bomb to heart, and it did alter plans. So it was bigger than just one movie that didn't work. So that's why I think it's just a gigantic story for this year.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, I don't necessarily think that the failure of Solo was like contingent on the story being told. I mean, there's a whole host of things that went wrong, from the firing of, you know, Lord and Miller, to the massive reshoots, to the poor marketing, which I think had like, 60-70% of its failure. The fact that, you know, people in, you know, the Asian market really don't seem to have an affinity for anything related to Star Wars. So, it's one of those unfortunate circumstances. Do I think that their Solo films have suffered because of Solo's failure? To a degree. I do think, though, that there's a lot more at play, you know, like the TV shows and all of that, and rethinking how and when they bring you know, these solo characters to life and in what medium that happens in. So I think,
yeah.
you know, there's a lot to be said about some of the exciting content that we should be expected yes. to see in 2019, like The Mandalorian and some of that other stuff. And I think that that will be a great place to see how the waters fare in terms of, you know, how and when they're creating these new stories for those solo characters. What I'm more interested to see is what happens after 2019, because, you know, they're going to close the show with the episodic saga stories, the Skywalker trilogies, and in episode 9. So I want to see what's going to happen after that, and if they're going to be announcing any other films, which they have to, because you've got Rian Johnson,
yes.
who has his trilogy.
Yep.
Weiss and Benioff are working on something, you know, so.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not
you know,
saying...
I don't... It's interesting. I'm sorry. Like about Solo, like it's not a bad film, you know, and I think it gets a bad rap. I think there was a lot of things working against it. And, you know, when people sit down and watch it, they generally have a good time with it. So I don't necessarily think it was because of the story, or even the directing and all that. It's just probably a combination of all those things.
There were a lot of factors that went into. I mean, for a movie to under like to actually bomb like that.
I mean, a Star Wars movie to underperform that way.
A lot of things have to factor into it. But for me, it was fascinating though how like they reacted to it. You know, instead of saying like, "Hey, we're Star Wars," you know what? Okay, this was a misstep, but we're just gonna keep plowing ahead.
Yeah, we're just gonna pull over.
No, they just shifted course, and that was just. Interesting for me to see. And yes, I do agree that, you know, having the streaming service coming out and these other opportunities changes some of that, because it's like not everything has to be a movie, and maybe it's better that it isn't. But it was interesting how just that one failure was like caused this great shift in the mentality.
Yeah. You know, the other part of that too is, as I think about it, they never really, before Solo, and during all of that craziness that was happening with Phil and Lord and Miller, they never really said that they were going to be making any other announcements about a Solo film. Now, oh, actually, I lied, because you know what ended up did happening? It was like right before Solo, they announced the Mangold Boba Fett film.
Right.
Well,
which
I don't even know
a...
if any of that was really confirmed, because it, you know, it didn't really. I didn't see anything come out in a press release.
Well,
or
no,
like
yeah,
that.
So, it was never like official. But
so I mean, that's the thing. I think people got excited about the potential for all of these Solo films, and none of them were really announced.
No.
Like nothing's really ever been announced outside of the films that we've
Although,
received thus far.
We and do the, know though you know, that. The Star Wars stories, though, were clearly in the plans, right? They were going to balance, because Rogue One was a thing, Solo was a thing, and even the ones that were in development that were never officially announced. Like, it clearly, the plan at some point was we'll release a saga film and then a story, and a saga film and a story. And that went out, you know, the window with all of this, which was kind of just interesting that they, because Rogue One was a big success. Surprising success. So,
right.
you know, it's like, wow, really? Just and clearly, I have to assume, based on the ending of Solo, that that was not supposed to be one and done either.
Yeah.
Because there was, you know, some world building there, and there was clearly, like, that ending was, you would think, was building towards something, and, like, it kind of leaves you on a little bit of a cliffhanger. So I would have to assume that there was more, there were bigger plans for that as well, that we're never
yeah.
going to see now.
I mean, but the beauty of Star Wars, and it's a debate I often get into with you know, my buddy Phil, is that there, all of that world building, there still is a payoff, right? Because they've got all of these other pieces of content.
Yeah.
And his argument is that I don't really care about all that stuff because I go to see the movies. I don't want to read a book. I don't have to read a comic. I don't, you know, all that stuff. And that's a fair argument. You
yes.
know, I'm just like the, you know, glutton of
right.
all things Star Wars. So I just like suck it all up and like I'm, you know,
well,
connecting the canon and all
yeah.
that stuff. But.
And the fact of the matter is, if you're like the hardcore fan that really cares to follow up on that stuff, you're going to search it out. If you're somebody
yeah.
that doesn't, then you know what? You weren't the intended audience for those other things to begin with.
Right. So right. And you know, there's a reason why they put it in movie form, right? Because they want you to get excited about at the potential of seeing Darth Maul, you know, come back. Even though, you know, those who have already seen some of the other stuff know how his story technically ends. So, like, what's the point of all that? I hope there's more. Like I said, I think 2019 is going to be a very interesting time for Star Wars because they have to, like Marvel, they have to kind of show what's up their sleeve for the next, you know, couple of years if they want to continue these franchises.
And I think too, you know, with the MCU becoming what it is, right, which has been like it's been almost like a Star Wars, right, to a generation, and with, you know, DC now seemingly on the right path, you know, if you have Marvel and DC, like these two juggernauts cranking out big movies every year, there is eventually only going to be so much room. So, you know, Star Wars, I think, can't just rest on its laurels and rest on being Star Wars forever. Eventually, they are going to start to have to deliver and evolve and, you know, become something for a new generation. And it'll be interesting to see what path they follow with that.
Yeah, I mean, if you look back on, what was it, 2015, when The Force Awakens was released, you know, it was, you know, every you know, it was feverish, really. People were still humming and hawing over that film, and then a couple of months later, well, almost a year later, they got Rogue One, right? And then, you know, it was all that. And then you get into The Last Jedi a year after that. And it was almost like Lucasfilm tried to bite off more than they could chew, right? Because they tried to do close to two Star Wars films in a year, like in a calendar year. Well, you know, whatever, a couple of months. Like a shorter time period between the films. And at that point, you know, I don't think anything could have saved Solo. Maybe if they had pushed it to December. Maybe. But, I mean, we would have had Solo at this time of year.
Yep.
Like, would have been of this year. Too, or of 2018. Yeah, it would have been crazy.
Yep.
But I do think that if Solo were in December, there would have been a serious, like a really big showdown between, you know, the films that we have today. And maybe some of those films wouldn't even have been in the spots that they were in if Star Wars had taken the December time period.
Yeah. Well, here's a question I want to throw out, and it's early to throw this out, and I'm sure we will talk about this much more as it gets closer to the movie, but just since we are looking a little forward now, do you think that the reaction to The Last Jedi, do you think that's going to have an effect on Episode 9? Do you you think that people, just by the time that comes out, it all will be forgotten, and as long as the, you know, the hype and the marketing is, everything is there, people will say, all right, even if I didn't like The Last Jedi and I'm done with stuff, I'm still back for this. You think it's going to be closer to Force Awakens, or will it be closer to The Last Jedi?
What was that?
You think that the box office will be closer to Force Awakens or closer to Last Jedi?
I think it'll be closer to Force Awakens.
Okay.
But like in between. I think it'll be less than The Force Awakens, but more than The Last Jedi.
So
it'll be like right smack in the middle.
Let me throw this one more thing out there to you. And we'll just think about this. So something to keep in the back of our minds as, like I said, as we start to talk about this more and more as the movie cuts closer. But
yeah.
If we start to get, and we will eventually, start to get an idea of what the movie's about, right? And what plot points are and what characters are involved. If it seems like they're going to sort of undo some of The Last Jedi to be more crowd-pleasing, quote-unquote, do you think that that will get a lot of people back? Or what if it makes it clear that, you know what, they aren't going to course correct as much as some people might hope, and they are going to still follow along in a similar path to The Last Jedi. Do you think that will keep people away?
I don't know. You know, if it's like about retconning like certain things, like, and I think the only real thing that you can retcon is the Rey parentage thing, but it was left so ambiguous anyways that it's open for interpretation.
Right.
And we can't necessarily judge. I don't know how that story is going to end because we're in the middle of it. Right. So like, I can't take what happened in The Last Jedi, as much as I adore the decisions made, I can't take them. I can only take them for face value. So I have to respect that if the ultimate story was to play this bit of a, you know, cat and mouse game with the audience on who's Rey's parents were, then that was what I was being dealt with, right? So for me, I mean, I'd be upset if they retconned it, but it's not going to stop. It would never stop me from like seeing the film. Now for folks that are going to see it, I think there's going to be a lot more on the table for them to digest and to experience that will totally trump anything related to that stuff.
Okay.
They have to go out with a bang. You know what I mean? Like, you can't.
Totally, yeah.
This is 40 something years of movies being told about, you know, the Skywalker. So, you know, you're going to have to see some epic stuff. And I think with JJ at the helm, it's already putting people's minds at ease. I mean, I've already spoken to some folks who are like, who hate, you know, The Last Jedi, or just not big fans of it, but, you know, JJ's back, so like, all right, cool, like, it's already going to be on the right track for me. So it's got that good, you know, he's got that goodwill going for him. So I think it'll do fine. Okay. I think people are going to come back. I think people are going to push all that BS aside and, you know, see the films out, because, you know, deep down, I think they want to see how it all ends.
Yeah.
I mean, you really can't do that if you don't go see the movie.
Correct. And we'll be talking a lot more about Star Wars as we get closer to the movie. But just to finish off, did anybody have a worse year than Marvel Television this year? They were at the top of my list of like biggest losers for the year, because not only are all these Netflix shows getting canceled, they had Inhumans get canceled and get just completely obliterated by audiences and critics.
Totally forgot about that.
They have, yeah, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of is just still hanging on by a thread. And now with the stories coming out that a lot of the content that's going to be on this streaming service is going to be MCU content rather than Marvel TV content. Like, really, what is Marvel Television at this point?
Yeah. Who knows? It's going to be The Punisher and Jessica Jones season 3.
Well, but
until they get canceled.
Punisher probably gets canceled. They probably both get canceled after these seasons, I would assume.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd imagine so. Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. And that's a damn shame, because, like, Daredevil, like almost better than season 1. And it's good. It's so good. Jessica Jones, you know, I enjoy Jessica Jones. It wasn't as good as the first season, but, you know, good enough. Luke Cage, I'd say on par with first season. Iron Fist was definitely a vast improvement. And I thought they all had, you know, some good stuff going for themselves. And ultimately, it didn't shake out that way. So who knows what the future is going to hold for them. I hope there's some sort of, like, you know, these characters getting absorbed into the bigger fold. But with the, you know, sort of relationship, the... between, you know, Marvel Studios and Marvel Television. I mean, who's to say how that's all going to shake out? So,
well, and like I said, and like the big factor to me is these movies and shows and original content, the Marvel original content on that streaming service seems like it's going to be Marvel Studios stuff. So and not Marvel TV. So that's why when I say, like, what is Marvel television at this point? Like, seriously, like, what are
yeah, they? Yeah, it's not going to exist.
Yeah, I mean, why don't we just, you know, pack that up? So I don't know that anybody had a worse year this year than Marvel television. That's clearly probably.
Well, we still haven't gotten, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. yet, so that might actually put a nice cherry on top of that pile of poop.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that show's not long, considering the fact that it technically already ended and then somehow got renewed. That show cannot possibly be long for this world. But
it's, you know, what's like, what's his name? Ike Perlmutter?
Ike Perlmutter, yeah.
Perlmutter sitting there with the dead horse just beating it to a pulp.
Yep.
Like, dude, what are you doing? Stop.
Yeah.
But it's funny because I did read somewhere, I think it was the Hollywood Reporter back when it got renewed, that it was like Marvel Studios had some sort of control over Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to some degree and forced it. While Marvel TV wanted to cancel it, they were like, no. You can't.
I assume it's because they're going to use it to help promote Captain Marvel and, you know, some of their other things. That's because that's really all it's become. It's become an excuse to put commercials on for their movies.
Right.
You know, that's my guess anyway.
Do you remember back in the day they used to have like the Sunday 7 p.m. like Disney movie night of the week?
Yep.
I miss those.
Oh, that was just a random thought. Okay.
Got it. Yeah, I was just thinking about that, and I was like, yeah, that would have been a great opportunity. Just
reminiscing.
It was called The Magical World of Disney.
Yes, yep.
With, what was that guy's name? What was the guy's name? He used to open the show all the time.
Surprised that they haven't revisited something like that.
Yeah.
Considering, like, you know, they own ABC, and they could very easily do it, and, you know... There's
Michael Eisner.
The head of the studio.
Yeah. He used to do like those little like intros.
Yeah, and I'm surprised that they could have done that again, but oh well.
Man, talk about a kick in the balls for nostalgia. I used to love that stuff, man.
Yeah.
Get my VCR ready. Record that. Make sure I cut out all the commercials. Oh, some good times, man. I just DVR everything. But no, I mean, the reason why my mind went there is because, like, you know, it's a missed opportunity if they, to your point, if they really wanted to get eyes on things, you know, give, like, exclusive TV access to one of their properties, and then that's when you can promote the crap out of something. But, I have zero interest in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but you know what will end up happening? I'll still watch it.
Good
just
for
because.
You can keep me updated because... I watched that show end, and I feel like it ended, and I don't need to keep going. I don't care if Chloe Bennett's in it or not. You can keep me posted on the goings on. So anything else?
No, I mean, you know, 2019 is, you know, is off to a good start thus far. We'll have lots of great stuff coming to our listeners, more episodes, and hopefully more guests, because we definitely need to start doing some of that. And obviously, there will be lots more watch parties. So if you guys are listening and you're in the New York City area, you can definitely look to us to keep you posted on when those are going to happen through the Revenge of the Fans. But I think that's all I got for everyone.
Of course. Like we mentioned in the beginning of the show, the big story for us was the fact that this is a thing. So the fact that the Fanboy Garage got off the ground in 2018 makes it a big year for us. And we have to, you know, thank everybody. You know, everybody who's listened, supported, and of course, everyone who encouraged this to become a thing. Because, you know, the truth is, you know, this is a podcast, but this thing has become so much more than a podcast. And, you know, we really appreciate everyone who's allowed this to become a reality. And, you know, hopefully 2019 should be even bigger and better. There's going to be a lot of exciting things coming down the pipe. And, you know, the Fanboy Garage is going to definitely be a part of that. So, you know, hopefully everybody sticks around and keep telling your friends about it. Let's keep growing the audience, growing the community, growing the Revenge of the Fans community. And let's just kind of live our best lives this year and have fun and go along for the ride together.
You just said live your best life.
I did.
You just said that.
Huh? I did. And I will say this. I hate that term. I find myself using it a lot lately because like Creed 2, that line resonates with me now.
Yeah. I was like, you've just taken on the form of the millennial Chris right now.
Yeah, you know? I'm too old for that demo, but okay.
Yeah. No, but in all honesty, yeah, I think, you know, thank you to all of the listeners, those that we engage with on Twitter, those that we don't, folks. I know there's a lot of you guys, so thank you. We don't get to tell you guys enough on our episodes how much we appreciate you guys tuning in every week and even on, you know, weeks when we don't have an episode. So really appreciate all of the support. And, you know, as Chris mentioned, we've got lots of really cool and exciting stuff happening that we'll be a part of. And I hope and, you know, that you guys stick around for the ride and enjoy every bit of it, because we're definitely having a lot of fun doing this for you guys. So thanks.
Yeah. And hopefully Aaron gets over that cold too.
God, I sound horrible, man. I'm like, every minute goes by, my voice is like getting raspier and raspier. Soon I'll sound like Barry White.
Yeah, we better get off this thing before you don't have a voice soon.
Now, but I finished my water. My, like, have no cough drops. God. Guys, I'm like dying for you right
you
now.
You are not living your best life right now.
No, man. And I got to like fly out for a business trip on Saturday. It's like, damn, man.
All right. Well, on that note, go to thefanboygarage.com. Listen to our new episodes, listen to the episode archive, buy some merch. Maybe we'll crank out some new merch for 2019. Shop on Amazon and help kick back some stuff to the show. Of course, you can join the conversation by finding us on Twitter. You can find me at RealCLMighty.
And you can find me at the morgue after this episode. No. You can find me on Twitter at Starting Sith. Don't forget to follow our Instagram page, The Fanboy Garage. Check out our pics. There isn't really much.
Not right now. But that'll be one of the
things.
I gotta
kick that up a little bit.
Yeah, we gotta ramp that up for 2019.
Yeah, I was gonna do an Instagram live story when we were doing Aquaman, but I'd never done one before. So I was like button mashing, and I was like, I don't know what the hell's going on. And then I walked into the theater because I was like running late. And everyone's there with their things of popcorn. I'm like, I'm going to look like such an ass if I do this right now. So I like didn't do it.
That's all right. With that, we're going to get out of here. And I guess we'll, are we going to, I don't know. We're not going to have an episode next week, right?
No.
So this will be your episode for another couple weeks. And then after next week, should be back to the regular schedule.
We will be back.
Yes.
We will be back. And hopefully I sound a lot better.
We'll start asking, we'll start getting questions and whatnot again and start getting the conversation going again. So we look forward to that. So for now, everyone, take care. Happy New Year again. And thanks for being a part of this.
Later.